Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Thanks for being with me here today as we talk about managing the important things. What are the important things? You know, our health, our family, our relationships, the contacts that we have with other people, the things that really matter in this life. How do we manage them in such a way so that we can make the impactful difference that we're meant to make in this world? How do we do that? How do we manage those things in a powerful way that both propels us to where we need to go, as well as nurtures that relationship in the way that it really needs to go? We're going to look at all of those different aspects. We're going to look at your health. We're going to look at some things having to do with your relationship with people, both in life and in work. And we're going to also talk about, you know, how do you connect to people so that you can sell them your products, you can make friends, all that kind of stuff. We're going to cram here into the next little bit here on our time together as we discuss how you can be a thriving entrepreneur. We have got three amazing guests that are going to help us look at different aspects of that and talk about things that are important to you in your life so that you can look at how you can manage the important things and how you can be a thriving entrepreneur. We've got those great guests coming up. So without further ado, let's jump right in to our first guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming John Jubilee. Hey, John, how are you doing today?
Well, spectacular. Thank you.
Absolutely. So first off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in this world.
Well, I am very grateful and thankful to say that today I'm showing up a lot better than I was. So maybe I'm like a lot of other people 27 years ago. You know, I've had a lot of struggles going on, man. I had, you know, weight issues. I had a lot of pain. I was bone on bone in my knees. If anybody's ever had that, it is it's horrific, man. It's like literally getting stabbed with a knife every time you take a step. And I had high blood pressure and hypertension, and the worst part of it was I was trying, man. I was trying to, you know, I was trying all the right stuff. You know, I tried all the diets out there, and, you know, keto, Weight Watchers, and no sugar, low sugar, low carb, no carb. And, you know, I did all that crazy stuff. But it was so frustrating because you know what my experience was, is every diet worked for a minute, but life's a lot longer than a minute. Right. And so it was so frustrating and so challenging. And so I'm grateful to say that, you know, I found an answer. And so today, you know, that was 27 years ago, by the way. It was 1997. I haven't had a medical doctor visit in 27 years. I got full cartilage in both my knees. I got no pain, and I got full vitality and energy. And that's how I get to show up today.
I love that. So tell us, what did you discover? What worked for you?
Well, I just want to give a quick qualifier so that people know that I don't claim to be a smart guy. You know, I'm not a smart guy, but I am a gifted guy. You know, I was just, you know, born with a photographic memory. Since I was a little boy, I could, you know, read an encyclopedia and quote it back. And I tested out of 12 years of college math in about 45 minutes. That was a good test. Saved me 12 years. So God gave me a unique processor. You know, my brain processes information. And the reason I'm sharing that is because a lot of people ask me, how in the world did you figure out what you figured out? And that's really why, because, you know, I studied thousands and thousands of pages of science, lots of clinical research data. And here's what I found out. I found out that when your cells are healthy, everything is healthy. And how do you make a cell healthy? Well, you have to hydrate it. You have to get the intracellular hydration inside the cell. And little did I know at that time, nobody had really ever figured that out. And I know that because today I own the only patent pending science that I know of in the world of intracellular hydration. I know how to transform a human cell, and I did it to myself. And when that happened, my goal was not to lose weight, even though, you know, I had a shelf. You know what the shelf is? It's where you can sit your coffee cup on your belly. So even though I had a shelf, my goal was not to lose weight. I just wanted to feel better. I just wanted to feel better. And I wanted to have good health. And so I created this scientific protocol at Energize Health. So this is the Energize Health 88-day transformation. And this is what transformed my health. So the good news is I got healthy. I regrew my cartilage. My blood pressure is perfect. My blood work is perfect. No more hypertension. But the side effect was I did lose all the fat. All my fat went away, and I've been the same size for 27 years.
I love that. So tell us more. What does it take really to hydrate a cell? Can you give us a, you know, kind of primer on that?
Well, I will. And here's what's interesting for people. I'm going to tell you what it's not. It's not drinking water, because we're all drinking more water, right? How many people out there, if we asked your audience, how many of you guys have been drinking more water? Everyone's drinking more water. And some people are drinking a gallon a day. I've got people that drink 2 gallons a day. People that have bought these fancy water machines and they spent $5,000 on a water machine. They drink 2 gallons a day. And I've been measuring cellular hydration in people for 27 years. And I can tell you, on one hand. Now realize I have measured tens of thousands of people, and I haven't measured 5 people that were hydrated, not 5. And probably 1,000 of those people were drinking 2 gallons a day and they were dehydrated. And people say, how is that possible? And I'll tell you why. It's because the cells are as hard as glass marbles. And even if you pour 2 gallons of water on glass marbles, none of that hydration is getting in there. You have to open up that cell so it can become porous like a sponge. So picture the cell going through a transformation, just like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Picture your cell going from a hard glass marble to a porous, beautiful sponge. That's what has to happen in the human body. And that's what the Energized Health Protocol does. It literally causes a cellular transformation in your body where those cells, and as they transform, realize every one of your organs is made up of nothing but cells. That's all they are. And as your cells get healthy, every organ in your body optimizes. Your thyroid, your pancreas, your kidneys, your liver, your heart, your brain, your skin is an organ. And so when we get healthy at the cellular level, you couldn't be unhealthy if you wanted to, because it's pushing out all the toxins and all the inflammation that are trapped in the glass marbles. And the Mayo Clinic will tell you that 99.9% of all dis-ease in the body is caused from inflammation. And when the inflammation's trapped in a glass marble, it has nowhere to go. It only gets worse. But the beautiful thing that we've been able to see and experience thousands and tens of thousands of times with people in all 50 states and other countries around the world, every person that gets hydrated, a man should be 60% hydrated. A woman should be 55%. And for everyone that's wondering real quick, the reason men are a little bit more hydrated is because men carry more muscle mass. And muscle is 75% water. So that's why men carry a little bit more hydration than women. But everyone that's listening, you know, I would encourage you, literally, don't even wait till tomorrow. You go today and you go find where you can measure your intracellular hydration, it is the number one health marker. It's more important than your blood sugar. It's more important than your blood pressure. It is the most important health marker of your life. You were made to be mostly water, and you need to know how much hydration you have in those cells.
Absolutely. So, what, and you've got too much that you're going to be able to do for folks that they need to join with you in order to do that. But give us just a little taste. What is step one? You go and you get that, and you find out you're massively dehydrated, which I feel like sitting here drinking water, I'm already there. what do you do first? I mean, what is the first thing you can do to begin to change those glass balls into sponges?
Well, the first thing you need to do is you have to make the choice. You have to draw the line in the sand, and you have to mentally say, all right, I've had it. Enough is enough is enough. And I'm going to make a commitment to get healthy. If someone's willing to give me the treasure map, because the Energized Health Protocol, it's like a treasure map. We're going to show you how to get to the treasure, but you still have to take the steps. You still have to take the steps to get there. And so the first thing we all have to do, so just like for me, every step of my life was a step of pain. And so thankfully and horribly, I was in so much pain, I was willing to make a change. I was willing to make a change because my level of pain was so high. And so, unfortunately, some people just aren't in enough pain. Some people have to be in a lot of pain, and I'm raising my hand here. Some of us are so stubborn. We're so stubborn, and we so think we know, what's up, or we think, well, it's not going to happen to us. We're not going to be the guy that has a stroke or has a heart attack or, that has some, terrible health issue happen to us. We think, no, that only happens to the other guy. But for me, I was in so much pain, I was willing to make that choice, to make a decision of, okay, if I go do all this research and I find out how to actually get healthy, I'm willing to do whatever that is. Now, the good news is for everybody, I want to tell people, and listen, I'm a pure scientist. I don't care what the truth is. I just want to know what it is. And then I want to share that truth with people. So I got good news for everybody out there. When God created human beings, he gave us taste buds, taste buds. So I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question, but this is for your audience. Why do you think God would put taste buds in our body?
So that we could taste and see how good things are.
That's right, because food tastes good. Because food tastes good. It's like it's if we were supposed to be eating tofu and wheatgrass. Or we were supposed to be eating a bunch of, whatever. No, we have taste buds because food tastes good. We're supposed to enjoy and celebrate the good taste of food. So I want to tell people, you know what? I live in Orange County, California. We got In-N-Out Burger. That's an amazing burger. I eat a 4x2. That's four burgers and two cheese on there with my fries. Once a week, I eat a double sausage, double pepperoni pizza. Because why? Because it tastes great. It tastes great. And I eat food every day. My favorite vegetable is carrot cake. Because and listen, I live in California where all the vegans are. A lot of vegans in California. And I tell my beloved vegan friends, the closest I'm getting to a vegan is carrot cake. But God gave us taste buds because food tastes good. And so even when you're getting healthy, you can eat food you love. You can. So anyone that tells you you have to go on some crazy restrictive diet or go running, no, you don't have to do any strenuous exercise. If anyone out there has joint pain or bone on bone, you can't run. You can't even think about running. I couldn't even think about running when I was trying to transform at the cellular level. That wasn't even a thought in my head. I was, it was painful enough just to take a step, just to walk. But what I teach is something every single person can do. If you're 20 or if you're 120. You could do this. If you're in joint pain, you can do it, because I know it, because guess what? I did it with joint pain. Now, by the way, I was told I needed two new knee replacements. You know, you're supposed to have 2.5 centimeters of cartilage in your knees. I had zip, you know, like I was Mr. Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, pop, you know, when I walked. And that sounds funny, but it hurts. You know, it hurts when people can hear you walk into a room. That's not a good thing. It's a painful thing. But I'm happy to report today, medically documented, I grew 2.5 centimeters of cartilage in both my knees. I have full cartilage in my knees. And today I could run to the top of a football stadium and to the bottom for an hour, you know, while I'm on my cell phone, you know, making calls on my headset. And I do it for fun because I can, and I'm delighted. It gives me joy to do that. So the good news is look, the only two things that you give up is sugar and white flour. You could eat everything else. So that means you can eat spaghetti and meatballs. You can eat taco. You can eat, you know, salsa. You can eat cheeseburgers. No, you're just going to give up sugar and white flour. It's only two things. And the only reason we say cut those out while you're getting healthy at the cellular level, and then you could add them back in, by the way, but you cut them out during your 88-day transformation because sugar is the only nutrient to a cancer cell. It's the only thing that helps cancer survive in your body is sugar. And when white flour touches human saliva, it turns into pure glucose, just like table sugar. So that's the only two things you take out, but you could still have sweet stuff. You could just use stevia or monk fruit or honey. You can use natural sweeteners. In fact, we have a Jubilee fudge. We have a Jubilee fudge recipe. It's better than a Snickers bar. I'm telling you, because I love Snickers bar, but I can honestly say if I had a Snickers bar or Jubilee fudge, I'd eat the Jubilee fudge. It's literally better, sweeter, and of course, it's totally healthy. You can eat it 3 times a day on the protocol. So we give people something they can really do for their whole life.
Well, I love that. So tell us, how can a person work with you? How can they begin the transformation?
Well, here's what I recommend for anybody. First of all, I want to invite everyone to be what I call a beautiful, beloved skeptic. Because in health and wellness, if you're going to be intelligent, you better have a healthy level of skepticism, because there is so much false stuff out there for sale. Everybody's trying to sell you a product. They're trying to sell you a supplement. They're trying to sell you a program. And I hate that stuff. I despise that. And so what I would encourage people to do is, number one, go on the website. It's Energized, E-N-E-R-G-I-Z-E-D, energizedhealth.com. So go on the website, but right on our website at the bottom, go click on Better Business Bureau. Listen, we've been around for 27 years, Better Business Bureau. And you can go look at 1,000 reviews on the Better Business Bureau. We are A-plus rated, 27 years. Go look on Trustpilot. We're 5-star rated. Facebook reviews, 5-star rated. Google reviews, 5-star rated. We've been around for 27 years. And do your research. Do your research. But we literally have thousands and tens of thousands of reviews, but do some homework. Look at these testimonies of real people. We don't have any polished, slick, smooth ads, you know, that trying to sell you something. We don't even sell our program. We share it. We share an experience with you of, if you want to have what we have, you just have to do what we do. And that's what all of our clients, they'll share what, this is my experience. And here's pretty much what they say. It sounded too good to be true, but it was true. It sounded too good to be true, but it changed my life. I never thought I could get off of 10 medications, but I did. I never thought I'd be running upstairs, but I am. Arthritis, spinal stenosis, diverticulitis, irritable bowel syndrome, diabetes, you know, you name it. You know, we actually do this for people. Listen, guys, I know it sounds too good to be true, but let me tell you what we do for everybody. And again, you go on the website, energizedhealth.com. This is on the website. We put it out there for the whole world to see. We 100% money back guarantee what we say, 100%. You'll increase your cellular hydration. You will increase lean muscle mass. You will lose subcutaneous and visceral fat. And you will improve or reverse any stated health or medical condition, period. Yeah, you heard me right. And you go look and see for 27 years, that's what we do for people. And people say, John, those are bold claims. Those are bold claims. I make no claims. I let tens of thousands of people do the talking for us because they make their claim, because it's not just a claim. These are documented testimonials. And yes, by the way, over 300 doctors have been our client, doctors. And they say, look on the front of our website. We have a doctor. This is his quote, not mine. He says, I cannot even explain medically how I reversed kidney failure. Because they say medically you can't reverse it, but guess what? He did reverse it. Side effect of getting healthy at the cellular level and getting healthy kidneys, healthy organs, he lost 60 pounds of fat. But this is not a weight loss program. This is a cellular health program. Getting healthy from the inside out, the side effect is you will lose fat. That's just a side effect. And by the way, about 20% of our clients don't even need to lose any weight. They just have inflammation or joint issue or some type of autoimmune disorder. They just want to get healthy. But this is for everybody.
I love it. And that's energizedhealth.com. Well, John, yes, I think what you're doing in the world is super cool. I look forward to some people jumping in and working with you. Thanks so much for being a guest here on our show today.
Well, I'm honored to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, John is my coach. I did immediately sign up. It's made a world of difference in my life, and I absolutely know it will in yours. And there's more coming here. You can watch and see all of the transformation that's happened in my own personal life. John's got a new cool book that's coming out. So many amazing things to help you be able to manage probably one of the most important things that there is, and that's your health, your life. I mean, if you're not alive, you can't make the impact. You can't do the things that you're meant to do in this life. So, so important. And I so appreciate John's friendship and the things that he's poured into my life. And I really was excited to have him as a guest. And I hope that you will reach out and have him help you see how to be a thriving entrepreneur in all that you do. With that said, let's jump into our first commercial break here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about managing the important things. In the first segment, we talked about managing your health, and now we want to talk about another important thing about managing people. Let's jump right into it.
Join me in welcoming Joan Kling. Hey, Joan, how are you doing today?
Oh my gosh, I'm having a great day, actually.
Oh,
it's not
I'm
always
so
the answer. That's not always my answer, but today I'm having a great day.
I love it. So first off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Oh my gosh, that's two completely different questions, right? A little bit about me. Let's say I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I moved to San Diego area when I was 19. And I like to say I was so much smarter then than I am now. You know, it was just a crazy thing to do. I've done some crazy things in my life. Now I live in a town called Oceanside. I've worked for the government most of my life, 35 years in public service. And now I do coaching and training and facilitating. And my love is first-time people managers. The first time someone has to go from managing a project to managing other people. And how do I show up in the world? I hope to show up with my three core values, which are grace, generosity, and gratitude. And grace is to just give myself and others a little extra space and a little understanding. And grace in the meaning of slack, cutting people slack. I mean, I do have a really strong faith. And also to just be not so judgmental. And can people not be so judgmental of me? So I think I come across as I show up as neutral, approachable, kind, generous. Generosity is mean giving back to me what was so freely given to me. Yes, I have paid for my pieces of paper that say I'm smart. And but so many people have given me so many free lessons, life lessons. So to give back what I've been given, and gratitude is just to be grateful for the incredibly imperfect, wonderful life that I lead.
Well, I love that. If we were doing a completely other show, we would just geek out about Oceanside and Camp Pendleton and all of that. But let's go back to first-time managers. What is perhaps one of the most shocking things that most all first-time managers find out when they are first beginning to start managing people?
You know, that people don't do what you ask them to do. And people say no. I joke about it. It's like, wait, we're allowed to say no to our bosses? Like, was I absent that day in school? Wait, what happened? And interestingly enough, I just went to a conference for one of the companies I coach for, and Mindy Kaling was one of the speakers, and she was a writer and an actor on The Office. And she said, you know, when they were in the writer's room, they would just like scream their ideas and banter and argue. And then when she started her own businesses and she had to like talk to people and negotiate with people, it was really challenging because she couldn't just argue and say, you're an idiot. Why are you thinking that? You know, let's do this. So it is understanding. And I say this jokingly all the time that every day I'm surprised that people don't think and act and do and be like I am. And everyone else is thinking the same thing. So we have a hard time understanding people are coming from different positions. And people are coming to work bringing a lot of their lives to work that we're not even aware of. Raising children, caring for elder parents, racism, bias, all kinds of things, all kinds of things that you're not even aware of when you're having that conversation. Those things are playing in that person's mind.
I totally get that. So, what is the skill that, how do I say this the right way? When we've just had to manage that sometimes uncontrollable person ourselves, and now we're learning the skill of managing other people, what is the thing that helps us when we don't have that to pick up that skill set quickly? What kind of things can we know?
I think so much in life comes down to self-compassion and self-forgiveness. For a first-time manager to say, I don't know, because you don't really want to admit to your boss you don't know, and you don't want to admit to your staff that you don't know. So to just be able to be gentle and give yourself some grace and humility, saying, I don't know, I'll find out, or can you help me? I think that is just it's just such a tough position to be in. You're kind of stuck in the middle. So I would say, give yourself some grace, some self-compassion, self-forgiveness. And I also say, really important thing is to get a support group. Get a coach, a mentor, a sponsor, and then a support group of people that are closed mouths, that have closed mouths, that you can bitch to, that you can be honest to, that you can say, this is the situation I'm having, help me. And you could know that it's going to be confidential.
Oh, that makes so much sense. I love that. Well, and I think one of the other things too is that being a manager's changed these days from back when, you know, I mean, I'm 57, back when I was 19 and in my first management position, the way you managed people is so much different than what it, or at least what they tell us it is these days. What kind of things have you seen that have actually changed?
I think one of the biggest things that has changed for me is bringing your whole self to work. When we were younger, and I'm older than you, I'm going to be 65 this year. You just compartmentalized your life and you didn't talk about the kids were sick and it didn't matter what was going on. You just got to work on time. And so I think it's a blessing and it's a challenge that we care about employees today. I recently listened to Brené Brown at the same conference. I saw Mindy Kaling, and she said, if you have 15 direct reports, you need 15 leadership styles. So it's the challenge of getting to know someone, what motivates them, what doesn't motivate them. And then if I back up a step, it's letting my staff know about me. So I'm currently writing a book called, at the time, you've written books, so you know about how the title might change, but it's called Crafting Your Leadership Legacy Story. And that's about looking back on all the influences, everything, your beliefs, your values, what led you to lead the way you currently lead. So we take a deep dive into that. And now that we know that, what do you want to change and how do you want to lead? And what are your expectations of your staff? What can your staff expect of you? And what do you expect from your staff? And you tell them that. So many times, employees just don't know what is expected of them. Yeah, we have a job description, but what does success look like to the persons that's asking the question? For example, I'll have a client that says something like, my boss says I need to have executive presence. Okay, what does that mean to them? What does success look like to them so we can work on it? Because people say random things. You need to speak up more. Okay, what? When? You need to have more confidence. I think that was one last week. I think you need to have more confidence. Okay, what does that mean? And I told the person, well, you can have confidence by having a straightforward conversation with them, showing that you have confidence, saying, what do you mean by I need to have confidence? I'm not sure if that answered your question or not.
No, I think that answered it really, really well. One of the things that I love that you said is you need a community. You need like-minded people that you can bounce things off of that aren't going to judge you, and that you can even lose it every once in a while if you need to. I think in addition to that, we need somebody that's a coach like you. So what kind of things do you do to help folks so that they can be the manager that they could be?
I call myself a values-based servant leader. And that's what I start with almost all my clients, with a values assessment. And then if they are your values, let's look at how you're living your life toward those values. Most of the time that I am upset, one of my values is out of alignment. Let's say, for example, someone says, family is my number one value, but they're working late every night or they're bringing home their work and they're in bed with the computer, the kids are watching TV, they're on their computer, you know what I'm saying? So what can we do to change that? And then I say that we teach people how to treat us. So people, my clients will tell me, well, my boss emails me at midnight. And I say, okay, have you discussed with them when you email me at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, whatever the time is, what are your expectations? Are you expecting me to respond? For the most part, they're going to say, no, that's the time I had to do what I'm going to do. So it's about having the conversation with somebody and seeking clarity. This is what I'm hearing you say. Is that what you're saying? And then checking in with them, checking in and saying, hey, this is what I got so far. Are we on the right track? Like, I had a boss one time and he would give me assignment and I would literally say to him, okay, what does that look like to you? Did you want a 10-page staff report? Did you want a 2-page memo? Did you just want bullets? Right. And he would say, oh, no. Okay. Yeah. I tell you, just 5 bullets, done. And so now we're communicating.
Love that. So how can a person work with you?
How can they work with me? Like, you mean, how could they get a contact?
Yeah, how do they get a contact with you? What kind of programs do you have available for them?
My three, well, I have coaching sessions that go on and there's different setups. We could meet once a month, twice a month, every week, depending upon what your goal is. Coaching is about, we're compared to therapy, right? So therapy kind of goes into your past and it's going to talk about your childhood. And coaching is about here and we're moving forward. You're here and you want to get here. It's almost like a gap analysis. You're here and you want to get here. What do we need to do to get there? So that's what coaching is about for me. And then I do training on leadership, writing your leadership legacy. That's for first-time people managers. And then I have a course called three Simple Steps to Go from Self-Doubt to Self-Confidence. And that is about positive intelligence. And in that course, you take an assessment. And I'd love to start out with an assessment. So it's either going to be the values assessment and or positive intelligence assessment. And it's about naming, claiming, and taming your negative inner voices and how they are sabotaging your life. So they can get a hold of me. Most of the time I'm on LinkedIn. I'm really not too much on other social medias. And then my website, which is my name, joankling.com. And they can always give me a call. I can give you my phone number, 619-985-7016.
I love it. Well, Joan, thank you for helping all the new managers become really great executives and for all that you do in the world. Thanks for being a guest here on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Manage ourselves, then learn how to be able to manage people. What a great and amazing way to live as a thriving entrepreneur. Here comes our next commercial break. We'll be right back. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. Steve, welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about managing the important things. We talked about your health. We talked about managing people for the first time. Now let's talk about managing relationships and how we can make true connections that, yes, will lead to sales, but will also lead to all the other powerful things that happen when we connect with people and all those ways that can make us be thriving entrepreneurs. Let's jump in.
Join me in welcoming Wes Schaefer. Hey, Wes, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
And man, former Air Force, got out, jumped right into commission sales in 1997. And it was a bit chaotic after the dot-com bubble imploded. And so around 2006, started doing my own thing and trademarked the Sales Whisperer. And been doing that ever since.
So was there anything in specific? Or was it just one of those interviews you go to and you ended up discovering you were in sales? Or was there something specific that led you to sales, having transitioned out of the military?
I mean, I grew up, like, money was always tight. So I was money motivated, you know, and looking around, I realized if you're good at sales, then you can make as much money as you want. So that's what kind of steered me in that direction.
Perfect. And so what kind of things do you do now? What stuff do you teach? What is your company like on a day-to-day basis now?
You know, I got out and I was working with the sales coach and became a licensee of his. So it was traditional sales training, you know, calling on companies and helping them with their pipelines and scripting and role-playing, things like that. Around 2008, I ran across some marketing automation software and became a partner for this company. I got certified in it and just started applying it to myself because I was just working from home, trying to make it work. You know, I was married. We had they had five kids at the time. Then we added two more. And I was the sole breadwinner, you know, so I had to create systems, processes that, could help me be more efficient. So I got really good at this software and, my business kind of evolved. So it was still around sales and marketing, but helping companies create, systems and processes that they could then, apply, you know, and replicate their own efforts. You know, the adage was grow your sales without growing your staff. So that's how that evolved.
I love that. So, and you're still working with the automation software and that kind of thing these days?
Yeah. Over the years, I've added more platforms because, like anything, you know, like an insurance agent, right? Or, investment advisor, you don't want to be beholden to just one if you can avoid it. And so I got certified in other platforms. And so now I can meet with companies and help them find the best tool for their budget, for their size of their team, you know, and how much effort they want to put into it. Some of these are easy. Some of these are hard. You know, I help them do that. And I still do the, it's interesting, right? There's nothing new under the sun. As AI and all this comes out, I think the zig now, while everybody is zagging, is becoming good in person again. People are, you know, we're tired of being treated like numbers. Everyone brags about how their AI is sending, you know, 300 emails in 15 minutes. And now people are getting overwhelmed. And so, you know, how good are you in person? How good are you on the phone? So I think, you know, what's old is new, bringing some humanity back to sales.
I love that. It's always fun for me. You know, I mean, I know you've been in the game for a while, but, you know, I've been in sales for so long that you wouldn't believe me if I told you how long, probably. but, you know, in all seriousness, though, it's amazing to me how we keep trying to invent new things, but the real concept is about actually talking to somebody, finding out what they need, and then helping them see that you have a solution for their need.
Yeah. Everybody gets nervous. I'm working with the son of a long-term client, and you know, he's nervous about being in sales. And I'm like, why are you nervous? Just talk to people. Be genuinely curious. Be genuinely interested. See if they have a problem you can solve. If you do, help them out. We've twisted things around too much, for sure.
Well, I love that. So let's just talk some real basics. Automation or not, either way, what is the best way to get yourself in front of somebody? What's the best way you know?
Well, the best way I know may not be the best way for others. I mean, there's, again, it depends on the size of your budget, depends on the type of sale you're going after. You know, it depends on the demographics. If you're going after an older demographic, you can still call. You can send direct mail. Very few people are using direct mail anymore. So I'm working with a high-tech company right now, and I'm recommending they just attend trade shows and network, and just get involved. Again, put their face out. I've been helping them for a few months, and they had hired a company to do cold email, you know, cold outbound. And 5 months into it, I mean, nothing to show for it. So, I mean, there's no silver bullet. Phone calls still work. I had a guy on my podcast last week, and they use tools to dial quickly, but it's humans that make the calls. And, you know, they're having a 17% connection rate. And so people, well, that's not very high. Well, I mean, cold email gets you 0.5%. So what are you doing to go after them? In all my years, I've never really had to advertise. But I'm looking at ways to advertise, because it was always content creation. You know, as I was coming up, that's what worked. But now with AI and all these tools, it's like we're drowning in content. So, all right, zig when they zag, make a good ad. So the ad pops up when somebody's searching for the content. Oh, that looks interesting. They click the ad. Okay, same effect. They get to my page. You know, so there's really no best way. You gotta figure out what's best for you. And that can be hard sometimes. You know, working with this tech company, the owner, I mean, he's in his 50s. He's, you know, got 80, almost 90 employees. But he's very much a technician. You know, we got a master's in, you know, computer sciences and electrical engineering. So he's not comfortable putting out content. He's not comfortable being interviewed, writing blog posts. And if he does, they're very technical. That's not going to move the needle. It's not going to get him the opportunities that he needs. You know, so now I'm interviewing him and then writing the content with, again, a little humanity, you know, to make it interesting. So it's a hard question to answer.
Well, I'm sorry, it was a little bit of a trick question, because really what I was, and what you did say, is the best way to get in front of people is to, well, get in front of people.
Well, it is. It's like you have to meet them where they are. Okay. And it's true with anything. So what are you doing to, you know, meet them where they are? My advice to this client years ago, I was with a technology firm and out of Austin, but I covered the West Coast, and we were big in healthcare. So there's a group called HIMSS, Healthcare Information Management System Society. And I literally this morning sent them an email. I said, y'all need to join HIMSS. and get active. You know, I've lived in Southern California for years. And so Phoenix was my biggest client. It was a healthcare, it was a two hospital system. So I joined the Phoenix chapter, the Arizona chapter of HIMSS, and got active and ended up being on the board and got involved, helped them with their conferences and fundraisers. And next thing you know, I'm getting all kind of referrals and business. I joined the Southern California chapter. So, you know, I didn't get business right away. I had to prove myself, but I had referrals. I could talk about my client in Arizona. So that warmed up the people in Southern California and vice versa. And then I would go to the national events, and I'm telling these guys, go where your people are, you know? So it's, yeah, go where they are.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, talk to us a little bit about the specifics of the kind of things that you teach and that you help people with. Can you give us an understanding of what that is?
One of my programs is called Make Every Sale. And people that are jaded don't want to listen. They want to jump to conclusions. You know, they say, oh, you're saying you close every sale. And I'm like, no. The concept is, I say, to make any sale, you must make every sale. And so the point is, in any interaction, anytime, you know, you hear in the Bible, right, when two or more people meet in my name, you know, there I am. It's like, well, when two or more people meet, a sale is made. And if I call, your office, your assistant answers, I have to sell your assistant on putting me through or conveying a message. When you get the message, it has to be good enough that you call me back or you email me. Then I send you a link to schedule. Each of those is a sale. So to make any sale, I have to make every single sale. So you need to understand, you know, the concept is that small hinges swing big doors. You know, everyone's looking for this big silver bullet, this powerful AI that'll just fix everything. It'll 100% deliverability, 100% click-through rate, 100% show-up rate. And like, it doesn't happen that way. So what are you doing, you know, to double your sales? Most people naturally connect with about a quarter of the population. And with a little bit, a tiny bit of effort, they can easily connect with about another 25%. You know, there's always going to be 10 to 30% even that'll never, ever buy from you, no matter what. But there's a big portion out there that will. So with small little adjustments, because we have to adjust how we sell to match how our prospect buys. Okay. It's not up to the prospect to just figure it out. You know, if I'm good enough, they'll just know. No, they won't. So, you know, to make any sale, you have to make every sale. You have to meet them where they are. You have to show up the way that they expect. You have to engage them in the way that is best for them. So again, going back to humans selling to humans, are you reading the room? Do you understand what their true pain points are, what their fears are? What's the end goal out of this? So, because when you make every single little sale, the final sale becomes very easy. You know, old school sales trainers will say, focus on the close, or 80% of your effort should be on the close. That's where the money's made. And it's like, if you open well, the close is easy. The close is automatic. If you go through the steps, find someone truly in need, ask the right questions, they'll want to buy from you.
So how does a person work with you? What is the actual process of, you know, bringing you on their team and having you help them learn how to make every sale?
There's a few things. I've got a ton of content on thesaleswhisperer.com. But from there, I mean, hit the contact us and reach out. You know, you get right to my calendar for an initial meeting. But I've got on-demand programs. Make Every Sale is a program. I've got an Inner Circle. We meet live every single week online, and there's a private group. So, you know, I help all the members. I mean, literally every single day. If something comes up and you need help, post it in the group, and you know, I'm monitoring it all the time. So depends on what you need, right? If it's a bigger company, need a little more one-on-one, just hit the website, saleswhisper.com.
That's amazing. Well, before I let you go, just one last thing. Give us some words of encouragement that in spite of the messages that are out there that selling is awful and icky and impossible and hard and difficult, give us some words of encouragement that selling actually can be not only easy, but it can actually even be a little bit of fun.
Well, it is fun, but it's got to be your calling. You know, if you get into it just to make money, you're going to struggle. You may have, you know, a couple of good weeks or months and even, or even years, but with the internet and social media and everything now, people will light you up if you're a pushy, greedy salesperson, you know, cause our customers, they can smell commission breath from a mile away, you know? So, my old sales coach, you know, he taught me that there's a four-part kind of a mantra to this. And he says, you need to believe that selling is your calling, that serving is its purpose, questioning, right? Engaging, being curious is the process, you know, not pitching, not a dog and pony show, engaging them, right? And then finally, a sale may be the solution. You know, I don't show up and say, I'm going to help everybody. Because people say, oh, you're a salesperson. Can you train my salespeople? I'm like, I can show up and dance and sing and quote unquote train them. But, you know, how do you know your people are even trainable? How do you know you have the right people? Right. So you got to get deeper. And so when I'm not just jumping up and down saying, yes, yes, please, you know, hire me, when I flip it around, and get to the deeper issue at hand, they realize that I'm different because I'm acting differently. Then they warm up. Then the walls start to come down. And then we can get to the truth, you know? And the truth is maybe I can't train your people. I mean, obviously I can train them, right? But it's like, can I train them to achieve the results that you want? Like, maybe not. But when they realize I'm asking this because I want the truth so I can help them, then we have a good interaction.
Wes, one last time, give us the URL where people can connect with you.
It is thesaleswhisperer.com.
Thank you so much for being a guest here with us on the show today.
Hey, my pleasure.
It's in creating those relationships that we then build all of the things. And yes, sales come out of that. But so many other cool things come out of it too. And that way people then get to know that you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose and they can see why the world needs you. And in that, you get to help them thrive and you get to thrive. And we all live together as a thriving entrepreneur. I'm so glad we got our time together here today. I hope until we're together again next time, you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third-generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world.
Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.